Okay, Ken Scott is here.
Yeah,
amazing magician. Actually, Ken, I think you're the first magician that has ever been on the Sarah Fraser show.
Okay. Sarah. No.
Yes, I think so. I've had tons of comics. I've had actors. You know, I've had every reality star under the sun. You know, and I told you, I actually had a woman that was married to a chandelier. She was having sex with her chandelier.
I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, I'm on right. I can't talk right now, Mom. I don't know what's going on. I met her last week, yes.
I know, you're really busy with your chandelier. I think you're the first magician. I love
Yay.
It.
Yay!
Woo, Ken Scott!
I should get my trophy. Let me get the trophy.
Oh, Lord, please. We have no budget here. You know, we're holding on by a thread. Look, so Ken Scott, for people that don't know, amazing magician. I met you a couple weeks ago at the Magic Castle. For people that don't know what the Magic Castle is, because I had no idea until I moved to Los Angeles a year ago, it's this, like, it was built, I don't even know, you probably know, like 100 years ago?
Yeah, it was built, it started out as, if you look at it, it was built like, that whole area was Orange Grove area, where oranges, and that was a house where I think workers lived, I believe, but then it turned into a psych ward, like a hospital type thing.
Oh.
And then it became apartments. And then the castle bought it, I think, in the 50s. And I think it was opened in the early 60s, if I'm not mistaken. And that it's been the Magic Castle. It was the Larson family who started it. And they built this place. They were in TV. We were doing a lot of stuff, I think, for CBS at the time. And they basically took that house and sculpted into what it is now. Now, some places have been, like, where you saw me, that was, like, I think, not even there. I think it was like a parking deck or something at one point. They turned that whole area into a theater. It was, at one point, it was just basically the close-up room and the dining room was, that was the only place that they had there at the castle. So
it's when you go to Hollywood, it's just this amazing place on a hill, all lit up now. I've talked about it on this podcast because when I moved here, I was like, I have to go there. So I see you a couple weeks ago and you were so funny. You were amazing with magic. I've always loved magic. For people that don't know you, you are from Atlanta. You are based in Atlanta. You've performed 5 times at the White House. You've been named Atlanta Magician of the Year. You've performed for celebrities from Matt Damon to Usher. Have you performed for any Real Housewives in Atlanta yet?
I think I have, but I don't know who they were. Because I've told my daughter, I go, I think that was one of the, I think I've done birthday parties for them, for their kids. but because you kind of know when you go to these places, you go, oh, this has got to be somebody, you know?
Yeah, so. This has got to be somebody. So I was just so, your act was so funny. I said, you have to come on the show because I'm fascinated how somebody becomes, it's like a stand-up comedian, you know, because it's so rare how someone makes an entire career out of magic.
It is. It's, you know, it's, we were talking about that, and I've never been a comedian, and I even told you I don't think I could go out and, you know, grab a mic and start talking. I don't, that's just not my thing. My props is, you know, I need that as my crutch. But I do love improv moments. I think I do. It makes me fresh. It makes me, you know, current, as opposed to just living off a script. Even though I've got a script up here and I've written and typed it, you know, I like to zig and zag, as I say, or as Dave Chappelle says, you got to zig and zag. So I like that. And I like, you know, my show is geared for people. I want them to all enjoy it and kind of be like, I'm the guy who's just facilitating the fun. And like, I can have, you know, the dad, the husbands like the show just as much as the wives. And that's kind of where I kind of write the show for. So,
yeah. Oh, it is so good. People need to see you. You travel across the country. We'll get to all that. But actually it's funny because you said how did you even start? Like, were you one of these magician proteges or like, were you like six years old?
Yeah. So my mom, when I was 8 years old, she got me a magic book for Christmas one year. And it was just kind of a throwaway, you know, and I picked it up and ended up making a few of the tricks in there at 8 years old. And she saw, wow, that was, you know, as a mother does, she's like, that was good. Even though it probably sucked. And then she went to the magic shop and bought me a few tricks for my birthday, which was like 5 months later. And I didn't know what a magic shop was. And she didn't. She bought me a few props. And I'm like, she was trying to demonstrate what they did. I go, Mom, I don't know what you're doing. I can't tell. She says, I don't know. I'll just take you back up there and let them show you. So when I went into this magic shop, it was like this whole, like, it was walls of magic tricks, and I was just like in awe. And, you know, to this day, even though there's not as many, I still go in a magic shop and just go, wow, this is like, you know, I'm a kid in a candy store. So it started very young, and then I kind of, I did magic all when I was a little kid. And as I got in my teen years, I got more into sports. So I kind of got out of magic. And then when I went high school, I got back into a little bit more. And then college, I went to college for broadcasting. And I just got out of magic altogether and came out of school right into radio. And I went to work at a big station in Atlanta, which at the time I think was like a top five station in the country. So I went from, you know, usually you go to work at a really rinky-dink station, but I didn't. I went to work at a really fine, top of the, you know, state-of-the-art equipment. And I was working on a morning show, and it was, I loved it. I was making $10,000 a year, living with my mom, loving life. You know, I'm like, if I didn't make $10,000 in one, I'd be fine. I'm happy with this for the rest of my life. And then I was there, I don't know, 3 years? And then, of all things, there's like seven of us that get laid off. And one of the guys who came in as an intern and took our jobs was none other than Ryan Seacrest.
What? Wait a minute. Because Ryan was from Atlanta, right? So you so Ryan Seacrest stole your fucking job when he's like all of 17.
I don't want to say stole. He came in as a high school intern, or he was getting out of high school, about to go to college. And they just let, it was, our station went from a different, you know, a station name to a different one. And it was, took a while for it to get their footing. And they just let, you know, guys like me that were making crap money, they let seven of us go, and they brought some interns in, and Ryan was one of the interns. So I'm like, look at that bastard now. I mean, he,
I know, thanks a lot. And it's so funny because obviously, you know, we were talking before. I was in radio for years, morning radio host. I think that's why you are so great with the crowd. There's something about radio people. Radio does train you, I think. I think because you have to learn how to, like, describe things and...
Yes.
I don't know. You know, you have the voice for it. Anyway, we both were in morning radio. And is it the typical morning firing? Like, did you just, like, go in one day and after the show, they were like, all right, we won't need you anymore, and then they like take your key.
It was kind of like that. I mean, they had put me on as like morning producer, and here I am 20 years old. I don't know what a freaking producer is, but this guy who came back into town, they had let this morning crew go, and they brought this guy who was like a huge Atlanta phenomenon who left and went to Texas and Denver and then came back to Atlanta. And I mean, because I used to listen to him as a kid, and I would call in the station and request a song, but I was in awe of him. So when he came to the station, I was working nights running this jazz show, right? Just pushing carts.
Yes.
And I see this guy, Steve McCoy, come in. And I went, wait a minute, that's Steve. That's Steve McCoy. And the program director comes in after they do the tour. He goes, you didn't see anybody come in here tonight. I said, yeah, whatever. And then 3 weeks later, he gets hired. And they brought me in. And he brought me in as his producer. But I just didn't know the gig for doing what I was doing that morning show. So I probably should have just stayed there working jazz shows and just learning my way up. But I went right into the morning show, and then they got a real producer that could do the real producing stuff, that knew how to do it. So I think they let me stay on for a few more months doing like promotions and stuff. And then it kind of just went, it fizzled out. So,
and I
just took it gave me a bad taste for radio. Now I think you both, radio is definitely not what it used to be, you know, back when you were doing it and I was there for sure. So radio is not, it's not the same radio it was.
I know. It was amazing for a long time. I mean, it was like wild. Like you did all these stunts, you could do everything.
Yeah.
I mean, so you exit radio, and then what was the path to magic from there?
Well, I got married, and then I'm like, all right, I think I want to do this magic. So we just kind of, at that time I had a regular job during the day that I was working, just like a UPS type place. Hated it, you know, but you know, it was stable money and insurance, all that good stuff. My wife worked for the phone company, so she had insurance as well. And then it got to where I was using vacation time to go do shows. And so once it got to that point, I said, is there a way I can go part-time? And they let me go part-time. And then once the shows got in the way of the part-time gig,
yeah.
I just finally said, hey, what do you think? Can I do this? And we just took the leap. And I said, now's a better chance than ever if I do it now. And so I did it and haven't looked back. You know, and I think the scariest time, we've had two scary times in my career, was the downfall in 2008 it was.
Oh, when the housing market crashed and everybody was
crashed. There's a lot of guys who didn't, you know, come back to the top on that. You know, they didn't.
Really?
They had to get out. And then the last was obviously this, you know, the pandemic when everything in this industry shut down. And that was a very scary time. But I'm very proud that I kind of stayed the course and learn new things. I told you I had to learn how to do, you know, video and audio stuff to do my own virtual shows, which was, you know, it was a challenge. But I learned a lot in 6 months to get myself up and running to do these shows that I had booked instead of losing them altogether. So
now, did you tell your wife you wanted to be a magician, like, before or after you got married? Because, I mean, that would kind of, like, she didn't divorce you. Like, I would have been like, you want to go into, so you're going to
You are a geek.
You're doing
magic. I married a UPS man. Not to marry a magician.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I thought you were going back to being a radio DJ. You want to be a magician?
No, she was cool with it. I mean, she was, you know, and I didn't meet her through magic, although I tell the story that I met her because I was some suave magician. But she was always very supportive. And I think because she had, you know, a good, you know, 40-hour week job that paid insurance. And when people come to me to this day, I say, what do you think about, they say, if they should be a magician, I go, make sure your spouse has insurance.
Oh my,
you know, flying here, flying there. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you know, I think what's so interesting about magic, it's such a great job, because I was saying to you, what I love, and when you look around, like, obviously I was an audience member for your show, but people are just like, they truly escape for like the 30 minutes that you do your show. They're so engaged with what you're doing. Like, the rest of life stops. And I think that's such an amazing gift and job that you do.
Absolutely. Because, you know, you could, my grandfather always, he was a pastor at a church, and he did these comedy shows where he would do prop, just, he wasn't a magician by any means, but he did prop comedy. And I just always remembered him, you know, if you can get laughter was type of therapy. And I believe, you know, he was right. And I've heard that before from other performers, that, you know, laughter is a type of therapy. And I think if you can just get people out of there, you know, and I tell you what's hard now is this, the kids to this day, you know, they're so into their, you know, their iPads, their phones, and to get them off to look up for a moment at a live performance, you know, I think is, you know, if you've achieved that, then you've done something pretty successful, because it's tough to get, you know, and even I would say moms to this day, are, you know, they're doing 1,000 things and they're always in their phones. And, you know, I think for them to come into, like, to say the castle and, you know, not have their phones, not have any worries, I think is great for just the everyday parent that comes in and you know, their kids are getting babysit and they can just kind of chill out for the night.
So you've been performing for, like, I mean, you know, almost 20 years. You've been, you know, full time.
It's been 25 years full time.
You know, there's always like a moment of panic when I watch magicians, because it's not like stand-up comedy where, kind of like, if you bomb, you can just kind of make fun of the fact that no one's laughing. But I mean, if you fuck up a magic trick, like if you don't pull out the eight of spades at the end where you're supposed to pull out the eight of spades, like the whole gig is up. I mean, have you ever
I think because my you saw my act, it's kind of it's comedy. And in fact, one night, I think it was Wednesday night, I did screw up a trick. And something happened. I don't know what happened, but something didn't go right. But I think because I don't take myself seriously. I mean, my character is one that's just so fun, kind of, I think, just kind of like, what the hell, who gives a shit, you know? I think I get a pass, and where I'm not that serious, you know, mystery kind of magician. I think that I'm literally almost, I think people will relate to me, because I'm almost like, that's the guy who lived next door to us. That's Ken, you know, and I'm not some guy who's trying to be this crazy mystery guy. So I'm kind of giving, a pass on that.
Okay, but when you say a trick didn't work, like, what happened? Like, did you literally, you know, were you supposed to pull out the eight of spades and then you pull out like
completely,
a six?
Completely. What? I completely just screwed it up. I didn't focus, and I just, I had to do a secret move and it didn't work. And it failed, but I just covered it up by just some stupid snarky remarks and just, you know, went on like nothing happened. And, you know, people still applauded for, like, go, man, you're doing great.
Keep going. Next trick.
Yeah, come on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
We came out for this.
You know, like any business, any job, you do mess up and you just keep going. It's so funny. Okay, because I'm like, God, you know, the people that perform in the Magic Castle are so good. But I'm like, you must get up there and then the illusion doesn't work.
Well, it's a numbers game. I mean, I did 29 shows there at the castle. So, you know, it's just a mere numbers game. Something's going to screw up. And you just got to, I mean, once you've been in this game long enough, you know how to cover it. You've got a backup. You've got this or that. You know, the first night I was there, my dry erase marker didn't work. My first show, we call it the move-in show on Monday night, and my dry erase doesn't work. And I went, but I have a second one. So I was, you know, you learn from your mistakes to have backups of backups. And, you know, where are you going to go if something happens to this? And That's just being in the business long enough and learning from your peers that, you know, to be prepared.
What's your business like? I mean, is because, you know, you kind of get, I think, as an outsider, a vision that magic is very competitive. Like, how, I don't even know how you learn tricks, because I feel like magicians don't want to share their secrets, or at least that's what you always kind of, I guess, hear, right?
Yeah.
Is your business friendly? Are you trying to lose weight and keep it off for good? If you were like me, I have done every fad diet under the sun, and I started dieting when I was just 12 years old. I gained and lost 150 pounds from the ages of 12 to 28 when I finally got off the yo-yo dieting train. Well, if I had known of Dr. Applin and MyOptimalBody.com, my life would have been a lot easier, and I would have resolved my weight issues without doing drugs like Ozempic. Fine if you're on them, but if they're not working for you or you don't want to try them, MyOptimalBody.com has incredible success rates. Go to their website, check out their reviews, and see people who have had lasting weight loss change. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment. Be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment plus a free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for their customized plan. Again, that's MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment. Go there now and let me know what you think. Are you trying to conceive? Have you tried a lot of things, don't know a reliable supplement to take? Well, I'm introducing you to EU Natural. It's spelled EU Natural. They're on Amazon, and they have a conception for her formula and a conception for him, which, by the way, has over 23,000 five-star reviews on Amazon, and now I'm taking it. Very easy to take because, you know, sometimes multivitamins are tough. Well, this one is awesome, has a great vanilla flavor. I take it with food. And right now, when you go to Amazon and you buy any EU Natural product or their bundle, put in the code FRASER20, get 20% off. I'm so excited for you guys to be on this journey with me to conceive, and this can give you the extra boost that you need. So order right now. Check out EU Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 to get 20% off their conception bundle or your entire order. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off the conception bundle with the promo code FRASER, FRASER20, FRASER20. I'm on a customer service kick right now. Customer service means so much to me. And Uplift Desk has a 4.9 Google rating on their customer service and thousands of five-star reviews. Oh my God, sign me up. Actually, I already own their stuff, so I'm here. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS right now to save 5% off your entire order. This company is so customer service based. You can do everything by customizing the color, the type of top material you want for your desk. Shman has their standing desk, and I have their ergonomic Invoke chair, which I love. My foot pain has gone away. My back pain has gone away from using their products. Go and check them out. If you've never heard of them, you're about to fall in love. Go to upliftdesk.com and use the promo code TSFS for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com to get 5% off your entire order with the promo code TSFS.
Yeah, well, listen, it can be. It can be as competitive as you want it to be. And you know, obviously you want, if you got competition in your backyard, you don't want to give them your open, you know, blueprint of what you're doing for your business. But, you know, there's conventions all over the world where people go to, like magicians go to and learn new things. They get lectured, you know, we give them, learn new wares and how to, you know, present yourself and new tricks, new routines. There's like a whole dealer room where you can go buy new props. So this happens everywhere. There's one that just took place in England last week that was 3,500 magicians.
Wow.
There's one in Vegas that takes place that 1,600 magicians show up for in August. I produce one in Atlanta that we have like 200 people that show up for it. And we have another one called the International Brother of Magicians that we have it every year. And that one moves, and we have like 500 to 600 people, magicians, show up for that every year. So it is an industry where you try to learn. But, you know, when you look at the you know, professionals versus hobbyists, it obviously the hobbyists outweigh it totally. It's the very hobby art. You know, there's not, you know, you can count, there's not, the full times are not as much as you think.
Yeah. Well, right. And that's like the thing with stand up, right? To actually make it a full time gig is very hard. Did you have a mentor? Like, I mean, did David Copperfield take you under his wing and is like, hey, you know, I'm going to teach you how to like make a car disappear? Like, I mean, anyone famous mentor you?
You know, I did. I had a guy in Atlanta that was not a magician, but he was beloved by magicians because he built some things. And his name was J.C. Doty, lived here in Atlanta. He and his wife, Mary, and he was like a grandfather to me. He would come to my shows, and again, he wasn't a performer, but he knew, he could see things and go, you know, you should do this. You should put this table here. And he knew things that how to make my show better. And so I would say he was my mentor for sure. And he was just the greatest. And speaking of Copperfield, you know, growing up, I love Copperfield.
Me too.
Growing up, watching
him.
And so I was the president of the International Brother of the Magicians last year. It's a 1-year stint that goes from July to July. So you get to honor a magician, at the major convention that you're the president, you're the sitting president on. And I chose to, you know, honor Copperfield. I was surprised that it hadn't been done. And so I got a chance to really become friends with him this past year and a half. And it's been incredible just to go to Vegas and get to know him off the stage and look at his museum. He has a beautiful museum in Vegas. Yeah, so it was kind of surreal meeting my hero, if that makes sense.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, well, look, all growing up, right? I mean, he would have those David Copperfield specials. I've actually met him in real life. He's a person, too, that's very much a star. You know, like, you meet people and you're like, oh, they're a star. Like, kind of has – now, I'm sure you know him more as a friendly, you know, friend, but he has a real star presence about him. You're like, oh.
He does, you know, absolutely. And he's had that, gosh, since the 80s. You could just – you automatically look at him, you go, he must be somebody. It's like I told you when I do these housewives or something.
Yes.
I go, they must be somebody. So he's got that look. He's got it.
You know, one of the things I think is interesting about your business, like, are there a lot of female magicians? I don't see a lot of female magicians. And why do you think that is?
You know, there is not. And there are ones that we do have are incredible. And we're always trying to promote and welcome. I think forever it just became, you know, it was an industry where it was just looked at as, you know, as just men, sadly.
Yeah.
That's how it was, you know, from days ago. And I think it's made a big leap and a change to really welcome, you know, women in as magicians. You know, and I think you're starting to see more of that. There was a girl, her name is Carissa Hendricks, but she has a character. Yeah, so Lucy Darling, she was just there the week before I was there at the castle, and she is an incredible, you know, performer. But yeah, and she was there for the whole week, but she's performed all over the world and is just known all over the world for her act that she does. But obviously magic needs more women. We want more women. And I think it's definitely become more welcoming and saying, hey, we need, you know, performers, you know, women performers in this industry. So I think it's come a long way since, you know, back in the day.
I know. What an amazing career too. And I feel like if you're a hot woman and you can do magic, like, hello, you could be making like $3 million a year. I'm like, like, right? Like, I would just go, like, get a boob job and learn some magic tricks. I'd be like so fucking rich. Like, right? I mean, you would, like,
I'll see you next year at the castle.
I'm going to be a new member. Yeah, exactly. You've performed 5 times at the White House. So, like, tell me for which presidents, and is that a nerve-wracking phone call? I don't know. I mean, like...
So, it sounds bigger than... It sounds great on the resume, but it was for the Easter egg roll, which you being from D.C., you probably know about that.
Yes.
So, I was hired... It was during the Bush Jr. W. administration.
Yep.
And I think it's a First Lady event, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a PR company that each president gets when they become a president. They have a PR company. And it was this PR company who hired a magician, a friend of mine in D.C., to kind of, he proposed the idea of, go, what do you think about magic? Like having a magic stage on the South Lawn. And we do shows all day long from, you know, 8 o'clock to whatever, like 2 o'clock, whatever it ends. And they accepted it. So it was... You know, it was surreal to say, because we'd all go in the night before and go into the White House and set our stuff up, and you'd have the dogs and these big rifle gunmen all over you, look at your stuff. So it was intimidating to say the least on that, but it was such a great thing just to be out there on the lawn. I mean, I remember meeting, they would also have like the Jonas Brothers before they were really huge.
Yeah.
They had, what was Miley Cyrus's, it was a Montana, what was her name?
Well, Hannah Montana, when she was on Disney.
So she was there as Hannah Montana. She wasn't there as Miley Cyrus. So I met her as Hannah Montana, and my daughter's freaking out, like, look at this picture. I'm like, I got my flip phone out, you know, and that's how long ago it was. And, but yeah, it was great. And it was just so cool just to be there on that. And I actually, I want to tell you the truth, I stole a rose from the Rose Garden. No, no. I said, I got to get something from this place. So yeah. I literally took a handful of grass from the south lawn, and I've got it in a bag on my wall over here, just so I've got something from the White House.
Just to this day, grass.
How stupid is that? I stole grass from the White House.
Who's a magician that you like to watch? Anybody actually? I mean, you know all the secrets, right? So, I mean, is there anybody you watch and you're like, wow, okay, I actually wonder how that's done?
Well, I don't think I love being fooled. I mean, magicians will lie to you if they don't say that. I love to this day being fooled by a magician. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather be entertained and watch where they take me. So, I'm still in awe of Copperfield, obviously, when I see him. But like Justin Willman, I don't know if you know Justin Willman. Justin Willman is a huge guy. He's got a special on Netflix, several specials on Netflix. I love watching him. And Matt King is another comedy magician in Vegas who I could sit there and watch every day, and he could do the same act, same lines, but I just love watching his style. So there's guys like that. And there's some guys who you just wouldn't even know that I've met, that do cruise ships who are not known to the public. They're workers. I call them in the trenches guys. I love watching magic. I love watching good magic, I should say.
It's so good. Did you ever go to Siegfried and Roy? Like, I always wish I'd went to that. Were they amazing?
We
did.
My wife and I went there, and we sat in, at that time there was a pit. And once the bridge closed on this pit, you could not get out because they had the elephants and stuff going over this thing. And I had to pee so bad. But yeah, I saw them. And it was, it's great to see these legends.
Oh my God, they were legends.
I remember seeing Doug Henning back in my childhood. I saw Doug Henning.
Yes. And I mean, the thing about Siegfried and Roy, it's like, I don't know. Will we ever have a magician? We'll probably never have magicians that like have tigers and elephants ever again. You know what I mean? It's like,
I don't think you're going to see that. I think that, obviously after what happened to their accident, that was tragic. But you don't see many acts that are using animals a lot in their show nowadays. You got Ringley Brothers who just completely folded their circus up when they couldn't use elephants and the animals anymore.
Right.
So I think it's just, even Copperfield, he had a beautiful duck routine where this duck came out, Webster, and he took that out of his show. So I think you're just seeing less and less animals because of, the animal abuse and they think that goes on, and so you don't see many animals anymore. I think we saw one of the performers here at the castle had uses his dog, his own dog,
yes,
in the show, which is cute.
We saw that show; it was amazing. I know. I say bring back the animals. I mean, what else are they going to do? Although, the thing in Hollywood's always like, don't work with kids and animals; they're a pain in the ass. But they are, right? I mean, the animals in the end, the animals like get treated better than the people, especially now. Which I mean, they should. I'm not. I sound like I'm advocating for animal abuse here, but no.
I don't know her, people. I don't know her.
Ken wants off this show. Final question, and then, because I talk a lot about reality TV. You've obviously performed for some reality stars, but you prefer for some big-name celebrities. Who did you enjoy performing for the most that was a celebrity or reality star?
Probably Shaq. Because he just loved magic so much, and he's such a gentle giant.
Yeah, he's so.
And when I got booked for the show, I thought it was for his kids. And then it was his girlfriend at the time who was booking me, and I just did not understand the concept that this was for him. But I just thought it because it was gonna. She's like, this is gonna take place at a skating rink, blah blah blah. And I'm like, and then finally we spoke, and it goes, no, this is for Shaq. This is like for his 43rd birthday. He just loves magic. And they're gonna close the rink down at 10, and we'll take over the whole place at 10 o'clock the rink. And Shaq loves magic and he loves skating. I go, so I get there and he's got custom his skates look like skateboards, but he's out there skating. This big man is skating on skates, and I'm like, he's doing it effortlessly. I'm like, I would be falling over, but he loves magic, and that was probably the coolest time. Doing Matt Damon, I met him at the castle. My friends, our neighbor kid was in a movie called We Bought a Zoo. It was a movie that he had filmed.
Yeah.
And she was the little girl in the movie. And so when I was at the castle, she brought all the cast out there to the castle for brunch. And Matt came out with his family, and that's where I met him. But yeah, it's the castle, you're always going to see a star or two out there. I think on Saturday, after I saw you, I think Christian Bale showed up. He showed up with his son, I think. And that was a bit weird for me because, he was in Prestige, which is a big magic movie. And I could see his silhouette right there in front of me, and I could see him enjoying the show, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him or anything. But you know, he was a, you know, I've seen every movie he's been in. And then, I'm a big fan of Johnny Knoxville. Johnny Knoxville was there Saturday night. I did get to talk to him and just tell him how much I enjoy his work. And he was just on Howard Stern, who I love listening to Howard Stern. And he said, yeah, I guess the interviews that Stern does are just incredible. So we had a 5-minute moment there before everybody came into the room. So it was neat.
Oh my God. I would have been shitting my pants with Christian Bale. And he probably didn't speak to you because, you know, he's a method actor. He's probably in some sort of fucking Batman mode or whatever. So he couldn't like break character.
He was definitely in hair, his hair was grown out and he had a beard. But they did talk to, I think, the performer next door. I just didn't get a chance to because I had to do 4 Braun shows. Or I would love to chat with him. But, you know, the castle has always been designed where it was called, the Cary Grant rule. Back in the day when they, like Johnny Carson's and these celebrities would go to the castle, they made it a safe haven for celebrities to go to because you couldn't carry your cameras around, you couldn't take pictures. And the celebrities just kind of felt, you know, at a place where they're not going to be bothered. And that's still in place today. So you don't, when these guys go there knowing that they're not going to get, you know, hounded by paparazzi and get pictures taken of them and everybody's got their phone out. So that's kind of why they've got the big strict rule about no phones and no recording and all that stuff. So
For people that don't know, the castle is invite only. I personally think it's one of the best things in Los Angeles. But do you have any tips for people? How can they, is there any other way they can get in? I think staying at the Magic Castle Hotel gets you tickets, yeah, right?
That does get you a ticket if you stay at the hotel, I believe. Just if you know a member, there's a lot of members in LA. There's a lot of members that are, you know, if you know someone, there's a lot of people who aren't magicians who are still members of the club, I believe, like called associate members. And you can become a member. Some people just want to become a member of this club because it's just a, you know, nice place to take clients to. So there's a lot of, they call them associate members. They're not necessarily performers. They just want to be a part of this, you know, this beautiful club. So there's ways to become members of this club, and that's how the place is survived by, is by the members and what, you know, their yearly dues they pay there.
Awesome. Are you guys taking podcasters? This is great. I'm going to apply.
You know what? Buy some booze. I'm sure they'll bring you in there.
What are the standards to get into this club? Like, do you guys do any like interviews, background checks? I don't know if I'll make it.
Well, you notice when you come in, you got to get in. You can't be just wear. You got to wear a tie and a jacket.
Yeah.
You got to wear a dress. And you know, they've got some things in place up there. If you don't have a tie, they got a tie for you. If you don't have a jacket, they got a jacket for the men. So that's just a strict rule they've kept for a long, long time. And I give them, you know, hats off. They've kept it because it just kind of keeps the club,
yes,
you know, very kind of swank, you know, a little different than any other club in LA, I think.
Oh my God. Anyway, it's amazing, right? We're all used to basically going to like TJ Maxx in the airport where people are like dressed in their pajamas from the night before with their like retainers still in. So it's like a refreshing, like, you know, it's like, oh, great. You know, people still dress. This is nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They get there, they find, they're like, oh, wow, you don't sting today.
I know. It's like amazing. Okay, Ken, we have to do some magic.
So somebody told me at the show, she says, I shaved my legs to come here tonight.
You were like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, too much information. But I mean, I guess she was saying, I don't get out much. And she's like, I had to put this dress on and I shaved my legs. I'm like, great, welcome.
Would you like to be the one that comes up? Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, we have to do magic. By the way, kenscottmagic.com is your website. You perform birthdays, private events. You perform nationwide. People can follow you there on social media.
A lot of corporate events. So yeah, look me up on that out, and I would love to bring my show travels very easily, so I can travel pretty easily. So just ring me up. I'm there. You got the money, I'm there.
That's my motto too. You got the money, I'm there. All right, what are we doing for magic? And I hope this doesn't freeze because Lord knows.
Well,
what...
so here's the deal. They often think when we're doing stuff, you know, on TV or, you know, through camera, that it's a camera trick, right?
Okay.
And I've got this little ear pod, and it looks normal, right? You could say it looks normal, but if I hold it really, really far back, see, I get smaller.
Yeah.
But if I hold it up like towards the camera like that, it looks really big, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's because I hold it to the camera, but maybe that could be an illusion. That could be the illusion of it all because, you know, it really is, you know, you think about it, it's just that big. So yeah, it's just an illusion. So, and you know, my kids, when they were kids, we did Halloween, and these are the best. Can you guys see this? These are the best.
It's
these
like a lollipop, dum-dums. Right? A dum-dum?
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the cheap ones. When the kids didn't dress, they got the dum-dum, okay? This is what you got You didn't get the chocolate. You got the old cheap Dum Dum. Well, my particular favorite one, I love orange. Can you see that?
Yes, it's orange. It's an orange lollipop. Okay.
You can see. Great. Now, I'm going to have you choose some. Before I do, excuse me, I'm going to eat this. Okay. I've got a piece of paper here, and I want you to imagine you have a die on your table. And I want you to roll the die and tell me what number pops up in your imagination.
Okay, but say it out loud, right?
Yeah, say it out loud. Yep.
Six.
Six. Now, I want you to look at this, because on this piece of paper here, you look at this piece of paper, look at number six is. You see that?
Yeah, number six.
Six is Batman. You see that? Six is Batman.
Right there. Yep.
You see, it won a band, Catwoman, Superman, Thor, Iron Man, you pick Batman. Watch this.
Okay.
I have teeth that are strength. Watch this. Ow. I just broke a tooth for this podcast. There it goes. Look closely.
Okay, I'm looking closely. Is it in the shape of a bat? What? Is that a bat in the wild? It's Batman. Okay, the lollipop like transformed into Batman. What? That's crazy. Oh my God. I picked the number six. Batman is by it. And then Ken pulls the lollipop out and it's Batman. That's really good, Ken. Okay.
This is the geeky stuff we do.
It's so good. Oh my God. Your act was amazing. People need to come and see you. It was so funny. It was so interactive. You brought my brother-in-law up on stage. You do this act where you have them put on like a tuxedo jacket and, you know, his arms were short and go, and like the whole thing, you do card tricks. It's amazing. It's so good at what you do.
I knew when you said something, you got to be on my podcast. I said, I got to know this lady. And because I watched you. You were in the front row, if I recall. You were in the front row, right?
No, we were like three rows back. And
I could tell you were engaged. I could hear you. I
was obsessed.
So
I said,
I got to meet her. So you came by after the end of the show and you got to be on my podcast. And I'm like, I got to know her. So
yes.
And I'm glad I did.
I came up to help you with something. And I said, oh my God, Ken, I think you need to be on my podcast. And you were like, you think, you know, it's like, I like this guy.
Write that. I got to write that line down again.
You're so good with the comeback. You are so good. So kenscottmagic.com is the website. Thank you so much for being on. I'm telling you, people need to go to the Magic Castle and see you. And are you actually performing? Because a lot of my listeners are in the DC region. Are you performing anywhere in DC and Baltimore coming up?
Not publicly. I do a lot of stuff in DC for schools. I have a friend up there named Joe Romano who has a great company up there in DC area. And we do school shows. We go in, we take an educational message where we teach kids about character or about reading or something like that. And we use magic to kind of get their attention. So it's just a good way to get kids, you know, to keep learning, but in a fun way. And we do this all throughout, you know, DC area, Virginia area, Baltimore, Philly, New Jersey. And he books me a lot up in that area. So,
oh my God.
I love that area.
I love it. You are so great. And are you still married to the same woman? Is she still into magic?
Can you believe it?
Yeah.
30 years we've been married. It would be 30 years this month. And I'm like, are you stupid? Why did you stay with me? You could have got a UPS driver, but no, you stuck with a magician.
I mean, the magician is a big, and no offense to our UPS drivers, but I mean, the magic that you do is a little bit, you know, the guys in brown and the women in brown do a great job. But I think magic was a good call for you. Very good call.
It was. And, you know, I mean, I love doing it. There are moments, but I love everything about it. It's, you know, every show's a different show. And, after every show, you've been fired. You know, you're looking for your next gig.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, look, my advice is bring back the Tigers, fuck PETA. You know, we need more. Think about animals. That's all I'm saying. All right. Bye, Ken Scott.
Thank you so much.